If you make that little oof noise every time you stand up, yeah, that's your knees talking. Go see Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief covered by Medicare, 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Conversations with Mr. Fix-It. Lou Manfredini, come your way on Mondays. They're sponsored by Lindholm Roofing. Their family has your family covered. How are you, Lou?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. I should be asking you a question now. That's the way these shows go, right?
Well, there's a lot going on today.
Can I just distract you for a moment, though?
Sure.
So the Hughes brothers and then two of the women on the U.S. Women's Olympic hockey team were on Saturday Night Live.
I saw it.
It was really, really good. Don't you think they handled that well?
So well done. And, you know, I heard you talking about it. What's the name of the young man that scored the winning goal for the...
Jack.
And he, the first thing they asked him, what were you thinking about when you hit that goal? He thought about Megan, who scored the overtime goal for the women.
Oh, really?
Because they're friends.
Oh, I
didn't
know that.
And he said, the first person I thought of was her, because she did the same thing.
That's nice.
It was, you know, it's just, you know, for all the, I mean, there's a lot of chatter, you know, with what happened with these teams and going to the White House and whatnot. But I think when you peel it back, these athletes, I think, are friends and have a lot of respect for each other. And it doesn't discount people's feelings, but there is more to it, I think.
Well, I think about the men. If they had gone to the White House, that would have been a political issue for some people. If they had not gone to the White House, that would have been a political issue for some people. The president invited them. Cash Patel was there. They had no control over that. So they're all cheering and whooping it up. Of course they are. Hey, we're going to the White House. It could have been Disneyland. Right. Yeah, we're going to go. And so now they either got to go or they don't go, but either way, some people are going to get their nose out of joint. So I thought the bit on SNL really just reminded us who these young people are and what a positive story it can be. I just 100%. Wanted to share with you how Jack Hughes got there. He was playing in St. Louis just before the Saturday Night Live episode that he was on. After the New Jersey Devils forward played a game against the St. Louis Blues that started at 4:08 p.m. Central Time Saturday, it ended at 6:33. That'd be 7:33 on the East Coast. He was wheels up on a Gulfstream from Cahokia St. Louis Airport at 7:16. So in about 40 minutes after the horn sounds, 40 minutes later, he's on a Gulfstream jet on a flight with the Devil's owner and a traveling group of executives from the team. They cruise at 49,000 feet, cramming for the SNL appearance. They say, here's the script. They're giving him the script while he's in flight. They land at 10:01 p.m. He jumps on a helicopter at Teterboro and flies to West 30th Pier from 10:08 to 10:18. He lands at 10:18. There's a car waiting for him to hustle him to 30 Rock. They arrived at SNL's loading docks at 10:32 p.m. All in all, it took him 2 hours and 59 minutes. Like, if he was a heart and it was an organ transplant, how quickly can we get a thing from St. Louis to 30 Rock? And they did it in 2 hours and 59 minutes. How about that? Pretty cool.
All right. That is amazing.
All right. So, Lou, what do you recommend for us to do today? I've got some questions for you, but what's on the Lou to-do list?
We're all sort of excited about March, right? And so the idea is that now you can probably see a lot of deadwood on your bushes and your trees.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to take a little lopper out there carefully, don't go crazy. You know, you can cut a few things, but step back. You'll see that, and that will help to promote growth. In a couple weeks, things are going to start to bud, and you got to be really careful about doing that pruning. But I was walking out in my yard early this morning looking at, oh, yeah, there's some branches here I could cut and I could trim it. But if you go crazy and you don't step back and take a look at it overall, you know, you could make that plant look worse. So just take your time and be careful.
It's funny you mention that because I was in the backyard over the weekend and I had some plants that I didn't cut back. Well, now they're just, you know, brittle sticks. So I was kind of stepping on them and
right
and put. But I also noticed around my hedges some green stuff coming up, Lou.
Already,
I don't know if you noticed that as well.
Yeah, no, I did, and that, I mean, it's right there. You know, I mean, the plants are ready, and you know, once it starts to feel that warmth, they're like, okay, it's time for me to start growing. It's spring, so. If you're going to do it, it's going to have to happen in the next 5 to 6 days before you have to be really careful.
Wait a minute. What's going to happen in the next 5 to 6 days?
It's going to start to green up, and then you have to be even more careful if you're doing this kind of pruning because you don't want to stress the plant out. Right.
Right, right. And I think our friend Bob Bertog says something like, you know, you're best to keep some of those things that are coming up covered rather than exposing them to the cold, because we ain't done yet, right, Lou?
Right. No, we're not. It's, I mean, March is, you know, it's, it, you, it could change at any moment. So, you know, it's enjoy it when you have it, but know that, you know, until we kind of get to April, we're still kind of rolling the dice.
Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini's here. Lou, you ready to answer some questions?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Lou, do front-load washers still have issues with musty odors, or has that problem been resolved?
They still do, and I don't know why they can't figure that out. I mean, some manufacturers are better at it, but you still got to leave the door open, which makes no sense to me. They're, you know, they use less water. People argue they do a better job of cleaning the clothes, but... there's still an issue where you got to wipe down that that rubber, you know, kind of rubber gasket that is between the drum and bottom of the appliance.
Yeah, yeah, we've got one of those, and if you come to my house, you'll see that door wide open. That's the way we live.
It's crazy.
And, you know, in our condo, it's right next to the kitchen, so it's not a great look, but that's the way we live.
Right.
How about you, Peggy? You've got a question for Lou Manfredini. He's Mr. Fix-It. What can we do for you?
Hey, Lou. The seal at the bottom of our shower door, I think it's also called a sweep, has come off. The shower door is probably 22 years old. I've been to the big box stores, and they only sell replacements for frameless shower doors, and this has a frame. I've looked everywhere, can't find a make or a model. I don't know where to go to find a replacement.
You need to go to a, you know, if you go to a shower, somebody that installs shower doors, they have access to all of this stuff, and these gaskets are available. They're pretty universal, so if you have a piece or a picture of it, depending on where you live, find a shower, a glass shower door place, and you should be able to order it from their parts department.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, I know that seems kind of simple, but I guess you've got to go to the guys that do it and say, who do you order it from?
Correct.
Which is more like a wholesale purchase, or, you know, ask them to do it, because I could see how that wouldn't be at Menards or whatever.
Well, and it's just hard to do online because you're not quite sure what you're looking at.
Yeah. Yeah, I've ordered the wrong stuff before. Hey, Pat, you're on WGN with Lou Manfredini. What's your question, Pat?
Hi. My neighbor a couple of months ago put a birdhouse across the street from me. He lives across the street from me. And ever since he did that, all the little sparrows are in my evergreen bushes in front of my house, because not many people around his house has evergreen bushes. I don't mind the chirping and everything. I like it. But there's the bird poop all over the place, on the bushes, on the stones. How do I, and I checked to see if there was like a nest. Maybe they built a nest in the bushes.
Right.
And they didn't. So how do I get
there?
I have grandkids and that's, so it's like, how do I get rid of them?
Right. They're so they're trying to, you know, hide and kind of be at the bird feeder. You're not going to do anything right just this second, but when it warms up, I want you to buy a sprinkler with a motion sensor called Spray Away, and you're going to point it at the bush. And when the birds fly there, it's going to activate the sprayer, and it's going to use the sprinkler, and it's going to hit the bush. It's only going to take two or three times for that to happen, and the birds are going to go somewhere else.
Hmm.
And you can then move the sprinkler. You won't have to leave it there. But just remember that it's there, because you're going to forget, and you're going to walk by that bush, and you're going to get wet.
So does it sense? Is it like a motion detector, Lou?
It's a motion detector. It's good for rodents, for deers, for birds, whatever. And it doesn't hurt them. It just sprays them with water, and they don't like it, and they go somewhere else.
Spray away.
Spray away. It's about $60.
Good luck, Pat. This is Pete. You're on WGN Radio. How can we help you, Pete?
Hey, Lou. I got a toilet that lost its power. It just flushes, but it doesn't seem to be as good as it was when I first installed it. There's bubbles coming up through the tank when I open the flapper.
90% of the time when that happens is because the holes on the bottom of the rim are clogged with calcium, or, you know, they've just got gunk in them. So if you take the end of a metal hanger and make a hand mirror or so, and you scrape each one of those holes like you're a dentist carefully and loosen that up, and then use a little CLR in the tank overnight. Flush it just ever so slightly so a little bit goes through in the holes. Let it sit there. Flush it again. It'll increase the swirl action, and you'll have the flushing power that you're looking for.
All right. Good luck to you, Pete. I'm sorry, Producer Pete. Who's next now? We're going to go to Becky. You're on WGN. Becky, how can we help you?
I'm wondering, how do I make sure that when I'm getting bids from contractors that they're fair and, you know, in terms of the cost of the materials and the cost of what they need, as opposed to like a 50% profit margin?
Well, that is a really difficult thing to do. And the biggest issue when you're getting bids from contractors is you have to make sure that the scope of the work, what you're having done, they are all bidding on the same thing. This is why, you know, hiring an architect, depending on what kind of project you're doing, makes the most sense, because the architect will make a design. He'll create this is what it's going to look like. This is what we want. This is the kind of door. This is the kind of bathtub, so that everybody's bidding on the same stuff. Now, how they make their profit, you know, really, it doesn't really matter to you as long as they're providing with the like equipment, they're doing the like work, and then you're getting as many third-party endorsements as you possibly can to make sure that these people you're hiring know what they're doing. That's the best way for you to ensure that you're getting an apples-to-apples comparison, because the last thing you want to do is hire somebody and say, oh, no, I didn't know you wanted a jacuzzi tub. I would just quoted a regular tub. And you're like, no, you know, and it was not. And so now it becomes a pointing fingers. So you have to make sure that the scope is the same and everybody's bidding on the same scope of work.
But now I got to hire an architect, Lou?
Well, it depends on the project, right? Or a designer at the very least. You know, if you're going to do a bathroom per se, right? You'll hire a designer to put that design together, and then you can have somebody bid based on that design.
Yeah. Okay. I hope that helps, Becky. A real quick question on the text line, Lou. Can Lou please tell us again, what's the best product to kill black mold?
There's a product called Concrobium, and it is a sodium bicarbonate mix that will kill the mold on contact, and it will, in many times, get rid of the stains as well. Very safe product to use. It can be used both indoors and out, and it has residual value.
It's 11:27. You hear Lou Manfredini Saturday mornings at 6. I always listen, Lou. It's good to hear you here, and it's good to hear you there.
Thanks so much, John. Have a good week.